This is Brockcast by Brock.com, helping you persuade your customers to take action. As part of the Always Be Testing series, Future Now's Brian Eisenberg interviews Avanish Kaushik, author of Web Analytics, An Hour a Day.
Hi, everybody. I'm here with Avanish Kaushik, Web Analytics, 1 hour a day. I know many people like to refer to him as guru, and I know that's not his favorite term for himself.
No.
But Avanish definitely has a tremendous amount of experience working in the field of web analytics and website testing and customer intelligence. And so I've asked him to join us today to talk a little bit about that and some of his experiences and how other people can learn from these things to actually apply it to their company. So welcome, Avanish.
Hi. Thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me.
It's always a pleasure having you.
Same here. We've made some great podcasts.
Absolutely. So, testing.
Yep.
Right now, I know you're Google's evangelist for web analytics, and I know,
yep,
obviously their website optimizer is a big product behind what they've done. Why should people be doing this?
I think that basically if anybody says that they definitely know something works a certain way on the web, then they're lying. Over the last, so let's say 3 years, definitely every kind of human being now is on the web. I like to say that there are a lot of weird people on the web, and coincidentally, they all
including
have to
ourselves.
Be on the website.
Yeah, including ourselves.
Exactly, and we all have our preferences and tastes, and there are no benchmarks, there are no generalizations about the web. A green button works for somebody, blue works for someone else, somebody hates Flash, other people like static HTML, other people like, you know, straight text. And so it's just that testing is so important because it allows you to get away from ego-driven websites. You know, in the book, Brian, as well as on the blog and all the presentation I've done, I constantly keep saying, you know, the number one reason you want to do testing is because you want something to fight the HIPAA, the highest paid person's opinion. And this was an acronym that came up at Intuit when I was over there.
And I definitely want to talk about them because they're one of my favorite companies.
Yeah.
But they're one of them.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is that thus far, you know, in every company you go to, website design and experience is driven very much by the HIPAA or somebody at an agency or your branding police who won't let you do this and that, or people with strong opinions and high salaries against whom you cannot fight.
Or the big extroverts in the room.
Exactly. And testing is a fabulous way of spreading what I call data democracy. You are ideas democracy because you can go out and say, all right, the HIPAA's idea is just as good as my idea, just as good as yours, Brian, and it's just as good as the janitor's idea. And let's actually take these ideas, put them out there, and here's the miracle of God. Let our customers tell us what they prefer. Let our customers help us create website experiences that they find engaging and convincing and all of those wonderful things. The second reason I think people should do testing is because it lowers risk. Very few people think of it that way. But testing is a great way of lowering risk. Let's say you have a completely harebrained idea. I'm sorry?
How harebrained?
Let's say your entire homepage is, this is a real story, by the way. The entire homepage, you want to replace it with one big red button that says start now.
Okay.
No selling product, no nothing. Your core idea is that as long as people sign up for my product online and use it, it is so damn good that they will definitely then after the trial convert and buy the product. There's no need to actually show anything. Just let them try the real thing. Now, that's a pretty out there idea because most websites will show you screenshots and tell you stuff and there's fluff.
It's an interesting perspective because I think there are companies that could get away with that because they have a brand that's strong enough. Like an Intuit could probably get away with it. Like, if you know, I know they recently just launched Quicken Online.
Yeah.
They could probably get away with that. Say, hey, this is just like Quicken, but online. Start now.
Yeah. And so the interesting thing is, when you go into a meeting, let's say it's my idea that we should replace the entire homepage, all marketing collateral, all guarantees, privacy, all the content on the site. We're going to replace it with a big start now button. Now, the chance is nobody's going to do it. Now, if the HIPAA comes into the room, let's say it's you, Brian, you know, because you make millions of dollars every
day. Are you trying to say I'm a big guy?
Oh, you are. Well, let's say you walk into the room and you're, you know, you're the CEO of the company and say, you know, hey, my idea is big red button. Everybody's probably going to do it. Now, here's the thing. There are probably, let's say, 10 people listening to what you and I are talking about today, and you ask each of these 10 people what do they think of this idea, everyone will come with a different one. That's a very risky idea. Depending on who puts it forward, it might get killed or it might get done. Now, how do you eliminate this risk? You eliminate it by testing it. You can say, hey, let's send 90% of the traffic to the homepage that we have today. Let's send 10% of the traffic to this new crazy idea where there's no website, just a button, and let's measure conversion. Let's see what works with the customers. You've eliminated risk. You don't have to go around the company and bicker, talk, argue, have a lot of bitch fests going on, and then in the end a decision is made. No, I come with the idea, I give it to you today. Tomorrow morning, it's out there being tested. It eliminates risk. You can take risk, you can measure things. If it works, you send more people into the test sample. If it doesn't work, eliminate it, move on to your next idea. So that's number two, right?
Great reason, yep.
Your ability to take risk. And the third thing, I think, is simply that there are so many different ways. The web is changing all the time. And there's so many things happening all the time. To me, it's the true way of driving customer centricity.
And I do say something about the web being flexible and dynamic and mm-hmm. being able to change things on the fly, and most people don't.
Yeah, and then the interesting thing is many big corporations, Fortune 500 for sure, if you go to their homepage in January 2008 and you go to their homepage again in June 2008, you can bet that the site looks pretty much the same. It's because there is bureaucracy and complexity that is at place that does not allow for fast change. Well, you know what? I tell people now that you go on, put the JavaScript tag for your multivariate testing tool, any tool you have, Google's Optimizer, Automatica, Optimus, go pick your favorite. I don't care. Put the tags on the site, and
well,
then...
I am a big fan of free, though.
Oh, yeah. No, the free is good. Free is always great, you know.
I'd rather people spend their money on the resources coming up with...
That's exactly right. 1090, right? Solves for 1090. But that's
exactly.
My golden rule. But, you know, democracy. So the interesting thing is now, rather than you going through a complex set of changes to put things on your site, you could have marketers put the tags on the page and get the marketers access to your testing and optimization tool, and they can just go in and make changes anytime, and it can go live on the site without having to deal with IT. You know, I always say that.
But you mean the business prevention unit?
That's a good one. I had not heard that one before. That's very funny, Brian. Well, you know, I used to be in IT for like 4 years or so. So, you know, I understand. But it's really the pace of change that allows you to drive through customer centricity. So, you know, with the HIPAAs, eliminating risk, and giving the power back to the marketers to drive to customer centricity. I think those are the three reasons that you need to do testing and experimentation. And you know, net, I think it's what you said at the opening of your call, Brian. You know, none of us know anything. You know, it's really, if the web proves one thing, and we're recording this, you know, when Hillary Clinton when Obama was going to win, and that's true on the web every day. We're all wrong about what's going to be the winner, and this is the best way to say we love our customers, we're going to give them a real voice, and that's going to drive change on our website experience. To give you a plug, Brian, you know, that's a great way to improve scent. Right?
Exactly.
I tell people that it's a crime against humanity if you're running paid search campaigns on any search engine, Google, Yahoo, MSN, any search engine you're running paid search campaign, and the landing page you have is not a multivariate test. I mean, crime against humanity. You're leaving money on the table, because the best thing you want to do is you want to make sure that the ad and the promise you've made on the search engine results page continues and delivers on the promise on the landing page, and the scent continues. And today, the scent is not there in 99% of the pages simply because a HIPAA made the decision, right? Or a marketer
right.
Who was uninformed made the decision. And you don't have to. You
and
can
I'm
say,
give you another reason why that's so important.
We have six ideas, two of them no scent. You know, we have four ideas that might have scent. Let's test. It's so cheap. What free is cheap, right?
Free is cheap.
Free is cheap.
Another reason why it's also very important to test on all those landing pages, which is at the end of the day, even if let's say your conversion rate for a landing page is okay today, the cost of traffic keeps going up year after year.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? You have to keep getting better to keep surviving.
Yeah. Testing is just, it should be a cornerstone, a key component of your website strategy, because it's just so cool. And you know, once you get the hang of it, you'll understand how easy it is to do. It's kind of fun to be able to go. It's almost liberating for marketers to go out and say, you know, I have crazy hairbrain ideas. Let me just go try them. I mean, it becomes fun to go try crazy.
It's kind of like, you know, our kids who are like, you know, all toddlers, and they just get to experiment and play all day long and not have to be so rigid and say, oh, it has to look this way. No, let me try it this way. Let me try it that way.
Yeah.
And it really frees up creativity. You know, it's interesting because you did mention Intuit. I had asked them to participate in one of these podcasts, and they chose not to at this point because they really consider their testing program to be a real competitive advantage. And I agree.
Yeah.
As I went ahead going to look to see which companies I should talk to, and I've spoken to a few great companies, you know, companies like ICE.com, and I've spoken to GoToMeeting, Citrix, all great companies. People have been testing for years and years and years, have great testing cultures. Intuit decides to keep this private because it is a competitive advantage. Could you explain to people why it's a competitive advantage?
This is really very, very simple. They're very good at it. imagine you and I are talking of potentially one-off time crazy ideas. One of the things that we had been able to do at Intuit is essentially institutionalize the testing and experimentation program and have it be a real key part of the execution strategy of the company.
Everybody's involved, correct?
Everybody. I mean, I think across the board, everyone else in the world, we started off, I left Intuit about 9 months ago. Yeah, approximately 9 months ago. And we started like anyone else, you know. It's like, hey, let's go out, find a business unit that would work with us and try this cute thing called experimentation and testing. This was 2.5 years ago, right? And it was one-off test and all that. And the results were so surprising to people up and down the chain of command that
they just said, let's
just go. It's like, how much money do you need, Avinash, to go build this thing out? And thanks to all the involvement of great people from every single business unit who came up and to the challenge and helped build a program. Because very quickly, one of the things I think your readers and listeners should be aware of is that one thing you'll realize very quickly after doing this one or two times is that it is very much possible for you to eliminate the time to market with a testing experimentation program. So we had built out processes and implemented code and standardized things and steps and stuff like that so that if anybody wanted to run a test on their site, and at that time, by the time I left Intuit, had about 70 or 80 properties, websites, and any one of the 80 who wanted testing could be up and running in a day. So you could actually have testing out there start by a day. So the biggest limitation to testing was not technology, because the funding was created in a very nice way. Contracts were pre-negotiated. Everything was taken care of. And the program was built in such a scalable way that if you want to test, you could get up and running very, very fast. And so the limitation then became your ability to first know enough about your customers to come up with to test. And second, your ability to create text and pictures and ideas. And so essentially, the limitation was ideas and the ability to create the pictures and text for those ideas. The limitation was not your ability to get the code and that and the test and reporting and all
the
that text taken care of. Turn on.
In the way, you're never going to execute this well. You really need to have a team dedicated to want to be testing and not your normal IT group, because they're busy doing their IT things. And so we
exactly.
Kinda, no,
a business, I mean, I think I on the blog, I have a post, Brian, about how do you create a scalable experimentation and testing program, right? A program in your company, end-to-end.
Can you let everybody know where that is so that they can find it? Absolutely.
Yeah, www.kaushik.net, KAUSHIK.net. Or maybe we can link it to the podcast or something. I'll send you a link, Brian.
Yep.
And you can include the link. But it's a great...
Or they can look for the number one Avinash on the web.
Thank you, Brian. But that post itself is really stresses your point that you just made is, you know, you cannot think of it as one-off. You cannot think of, let's just dump it over the fence and something will happen. You have to create a program. And I suspect I might have this in the book as well. So your readers are welcome to buy the book or welcome to get the post for free on the web.
And there's more value than just that one post that's in the book. Your book's absolutely a must-have, I think, for anybody who's dealing in any kind of web business. Tell me about the Stinkies. Everybody wants to know about the Stinkies.
No, I think in general, the mindset that we had, what we had created is that we would let anybody's idea that was out there be...
What do you mean by everybody?
Anybody, really. Literally anybody.
Could be a janitor?
If the janitor had an idea about our webpage, that would be great. We got some really amazing ideas from our engineering team, the IT team, just to give them a pat on the back. They were creating code and they were writing all these websites and creating all this stuff. They always came back to us with great ideas, and they never had a voice on the table before. Now, they came up with some stinking ideas, but they came up with some amazingly great ideas that were way better than anything that the marketer had come up with. So the interesting thing at Intuit is that because the CEO, Steve Bennett, came from GE and he's this mindset around process excellence and Six Sigma, and he was always encouraging everyone in the company.
While being customer intimate, which is unique.
Data-driven
and customer intimate.
Exactly. So we actually ended up creating a program, and everybody could participate. The roles were clearly defined. Marketer, this is what you're going to do. Analyst, this is what you're going to do. Oh, and the program was not structured to be anybody's ego-driven trip or land grab and big-ass team creation things. The program was created so that all the big business units, you know, once they had run a few tests and they were ready to kick it up a notch and by themselves, the program was actually sent off to them, and they were able to independently run it while there were all these many of the 70 websites were pretty small and they couldn't afford to have all the staff. And there, the company made this really excellent decision to have a team staffed in the central function. And that team, those two, three people, were available as a consolidated resource to run tests on any small website. So you see this inherent flexibility in the structure where, you know, centralization, decentralization, who controls what. But all this was thought through at Intuit, and which means that it provides the company now even more. Since I've left, everything has become better, obviously, right? but now they're even better, even more well-positioned for glory and success. And
there's a central team that has all the knowledge.
The central team, as well as you briefly mentioned Dylan. Dylan runs is one of the business units, and he is an excellent participant in that team over there in that particular business unit, and he's able to independently execute tests and things like that. So the fact that very quickly in the first 6 months to 9 months, a small team in the center championed testing, prototyped it, put it out there and showed actual real results all the way to the C-level executive, said, let's C-level executive, give us your idea, let's put it out there, and won them over with that. So really made the case and proved the value of testing experimentation, and then had the vision to sort of kick it up a notch to say, how do you scale this to around the company and create a program? And that, I think, means that, unlike many companies out there, Intuit has this unique ability to execute, not just wish that they were doing testing. As you well know, Brian, I mean, you consult with some of the biggest companies on earth. As you well realize, wanting to do testing, even having the tools to be testing, is only part of the process. Execution is what makes it a competitive advantage. And I'm very proud that, you know, Intuit's accomplished this. And I'm just so in awe of what has happened in the company.
Yeah, every company I've spoken to who has this real desire, and there aren't many. I mean, it's the sad part, but they're the ones who are well-equipped to keep up with the pace that the world is going at today. They can react in virtually real time to things,
yeah.
And it makes a real difference to the bottom line. You know, I know Intuit came up with this idea of the stinky. Can you tell people how that came about and why that's so important culturally?
No, I think that we wanted to make it very acceptable for people around the company as well as in very many different business units, not just the core team that was running the website, to be able to be comfortable with not having great ideas, with losing things, and with actually not having everything go as planned or as wished for. Because that one of the things I think you'll realize very quickly in doing testing is that you will have your ego hurt very often because you think somebody's a genius idea and you know, it sucks.
Right, so this made it okay to fail.
Exactly. One of the cultural things that I think goes back very much to the founder of Intuit, Scott Cook,
yep.
A really great guy who truly is, I think, the person who inspires this customer centricity in the company. But one of his great philosophies is that it's not that you win in the end. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But he put a magnificent amount of emphasis on learning from failures. In fact, at Intuit, there is an award given out every year for a project that failed but ended up learning a lot for the company. So
that is so important.
I'm sorry?
I see so many people go about and they test things and they leave it.
Yeah.
And they don't take the time to process what they actually learn from it. And it's why I'm not a big fan of testing millions of things at once or half a million things at once. It's impossible to learn from them.
Yeah, no, I agree. And actually, I think almost every test I have seen except by vendor case studies is trying three things, you know, and trying five combinations. And only vendor case studies stress a million or 6 billion trillion combinations.
But not Google's.
No, I guess, you know,
I credit them with the fact that they kept it much more limited. And you know what? Sometimes you give somebody a Swiss Army knife that has 50,000 blades,
yeah,
and they end up cutting themselves.
Yeah. With the Google Optimizer, you can test 60 billion combinations if you want. It's just utterly suboptimal because if you want to have 5 million combinations of web page, think of how much creative you have to do.
Exactly.
How many great ideas you have to have, how much variations of text and other things you need to have in order to go and test 5 million combination, in the end you learn less. I don't fault the other companies for going out and stressing this as a value proposition because they have to sell the solution, right?
And absolutely.
If I was the CEO of, I might do the exact same thing. I can't fault them for that. But the reality is, for most tests that you will do out there, you will actually only have, 5, 6, 7, 8 combinations of the page, which means, you know, you'll try 2 or 3 different things, you'll get 5, 6, 7 combinations, and you'll learn a lot about what works, and you won't be confused by all this data. And the other thing that people don't realize is if you have 5 million combinations, you will wait until heaven freezes over to get a statistically significant result back.
Right, unless you have millions of people a day.
Exactly. So for most people, the reality is the tests go faster, they have fewer combinations, you learn more, and then that's okay.
final words of wisdom, any secrets you can tell them to really get them to that next level?
The thing that I would stress in closing is, Brian, you and I before the call were talking about how a lot of web analytics is still very primitive and a lot of people don't know how to do simple things, or that people have all these expensive web analytics platforms and yet they are not actually data-driven. And they're churning out reports but not actually driving any change. And that really is the reality of the world. Whether it doesn't matter what web analytics tool you have, doesn't matter what kind of site you have, nonprofit, for-profit, e-commerce. The interesting, the most wonderful thing about testing and experimentation, the reason that I'm such a fan and evangelist of testing and experimentation using any tool out there is it crosses this chasm between having data and taking action. The wonderful thing about it is that you can actually drive almost automated decision making, because every time you run the test, the data is success criteria are automatically optimizing your website without you having to beg in front of 10 people to get the right page up there, or for people to listen to your web analytics numbers, or for people to give you the resources you need to get things done. At the moment, if you are not doing testing and experimentation, you're proving your case, you're asking for things using your numbers and your credibility. And some of you may have it, some of us may not have it. The wonderful thing about combining testing and experimentation with that web analytics program you have is that you will be able to go out and tell people, look, for this segment, this is the number, this is the bounce rate. Let me show you the pages that work. Let me show you the pages that stunk. Let me tell you the call to action that don't work. Let me tell you a perfect add to cart button that works. And not simply say, here's an Excel spreadsheet and I think this is happening. No. The fact that you can include the customer voice and add numbers to that, to your ideas, is just a great way of starting to use data to drive action in your company. So think about it that way. If you're analyzing data from your website and if you have a web analytics program, the thing you're missing in terms of becoming a superman or a superwoman or a bad girl is your ability to have some control over the site that allows you to go out, put your ideas out there, get the customer voice. And when you go and talk to your hippo, when you go talk to Brian Eisenberg, he's going to poo-poo your idea, but he is never going to poo-poo the voice of the customer that you're going to bring back. And what experimentation and testing allows you to do is bring the voice of the customer back quantified. And it's just an amazing thing that you could have. It's just really satisfying to see how much more data-driven companies become when they have an effective experimentation and testing program.
If you only could have one, Google Analytics or Google Website Optimizer?
It's not fair.
You only have one.
I'm a consultant for Google, but I'm the analytics evangelist.
No, but
Google Analytics. No, I said this in public.
You only have the bandwidth to really manage one.
Yeah, no, I would take the optimizer any day.
For exactly the reason you said. It lets you immediately go from data to action.
Exactly. I mean, I would take the optimizer. The most important thing is that I'm always in quest of the customer voice, and you know how big a fan I am of qualitative analysis, and hence, to me, experimentation and testing is just an extension of capturing the customer voice with data. Now, the nice thing is Google Analytics is free, so you can install it, but push comes to shove, I would probably pick the optimizer.
But if you only have time to pay attention to one, really put the energy, I agree. Optimizer, hands down. The nice thing is they don't cost anything, but it does cost time, and you have to put the work to make it work.
Yeah, and after your initial, let's say you run the optimizer or a experimentation and testing tool for 2, 3, 4 months, all your low-hanging fruits are going to be gone, and next you're going to say, what should I improve now? And when you come to that point after 2, 3 months of doing testing and you need new ideas and places where to focus and what to test, that's exactly when Google Analytics or a web analytics tool becomes your best friend, because it's going to tell you what pages are sucking more, what campaigns are not working,
exactly.
Where do you need to focus. And so they make a perfect combo, but you know, you're starting out right now. Let's say you come to Brian Eisenberg and you buy into the persuasion architecture and you want to create a set of pages for a particular persona. You know what? The thing you need is the optimizer tool. You just cannot live without it.
Avinash, thank you so much for all your insights. I know the listeners and readers of our book, Always Be Testing, are going to be way appreciative. So again, thank you very much, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Grokcast by Grok.com. Catch us online at futurenowinc.com or at grok.com.com.